ladies and gentlemen across the globe, Eagles fans everywhere, you are locked in to the Philadelphia Eagles. This is Louis DiBiase here on the Locked On Eagles post-game show, a late-night edition here on this Sunday night, and it's going to be a Monday morning edition when you're commuting to work, or maybe you're driving home from work and checking out. Maybe you needed a breather after that game that the Eagles just had against the New England Patriots at Lincoln Financial Field. I know sometimes for podcast listeners, they like to take a break, watch the other Sunday games, take a big breather because you kind of commit the entire day to football, maybe take the Monday morning off, but whenever and wherever you are listening, we always do appreciate it. We're here recapping the Eagles' 17-10 loss to the New England Patriots on Sunday evening. It was a nationally televised game, and so that's good. The national media, the national fan base, gets to witness and gets to see what Carson Wentz and what we have had to deal with for an entire season now, or at least for 10 games. So hopefully, and while, again, we're going to get into Carson Wentz and his performance, it was not one of his best performances of the season or of his career. But for the people that like to cherry pick Carson Wentz stats, they like to joke about Nick Foles, right, over Carson Wentz, and, you know, so on and so forth. Maybe understanding today, taking a look at what not even Carson Wentz, but the entire Eagles offense and the team had to deal with when it comes to pass catchers. Maybe you'll understand a little bit more why we're so a lot of us are so loyal, and not even loyal, but just so defensive towards Carson Wentz criticism. Because once again, another opportunity was blown late in the game on a final possession because a wide receiver could not make a play for Carson Wentz. The Eagles lose it 17-10 just once. Just once on this show. We've had fun recap podcasts this year of some big wins. It was fun against the Buffalo Bills. They saved the season. We were at the game. It was a big statement win for Carson Wentz and the offensive line and the defense. And the past two wins, they've been on a two-game win streak to get to 5-4 after beating two really good defenses. But just once, I want to get that W. I want to have that recap victory podcast after Carson Wentz pulls it out. He pulls the play out, the big play on a final drive to win the football game, to make that statement play that for the first, 3 years of his career, people said he wasn't making, even though it wasn't really true. But nonetheless, there was a narrative about Carson Wentz and about the big play in the fourth quarter that he was never stepping up in that moment. And this year, we have had three separate opportunities now where Carson Wentz, regardless of what happened before that play, blunders by Wentz himself, by missed opportunities, there was an opportunity that if a wide receiver just does his job and makes a routine catch, I'm going to say a routine catch, three different times, we get to talk about statement win, statement performance, statement moment for Carson Wentz's career. Because Carson Wentz has had career-defining games against the Los Angeles Rams in 2017. This year at Lambeau Field, throwing for three touchdowns, wheeling and dealing in the red zone, and on third downs against the Green Bay Packers, which was a damn good defense. He's had statement performances, right? Statement big, you know, highlight plays. The Nelson Agholor play week one, 2017, escaping Washington's defense and hurling it up to Agholor. But this play here to Nelson Agholor in the back of the end zone against the Patriots to tie the football game late in the fourth quarter, or the Nelson Agholor, what would have been a game-winning touchdown on Sunday Night Football against the Atlanta Falcons week two, or the week later against J.J. Arcega-Whiteside against the Detroit Lions. These are all opportunities where we could have lived in the glory of him just for a play saying, this is why you traded up for me, this is why I belong in tier one of NFL quarterbacks, and we don't get to do that once again today because Nelson Agholor dropped it again. Add it to the gallery this year. Last year, what were the two moments that maybe were going to torture us throughout the entire offseason if the Eagles didn't turn it around and make the playoffs? It was the 4th-and-19 against the Tennessee Titans in overtime that they blew to lose that football game, and it was the 4th-and-12 against the Carolina Panthers that cemented the fourth quarter collapse after the Eagles were leading by 17 points. This year, there were two potential season-defining moments, the Agholor drop against Atlanta and the Arcega-Whiteside drop against Detroit. We'll add this one in there because Nelson Agholor had a gift. Carson Wentz put it perfectly on 4th-and-10 while getting hit on cover zero falling away. It was like probably traveled 30 yards in the air behind the entire secondary right into what would have been the basket of Nelson Agholor. But he once again failed to not only just catch the football, it was right in his hands, but to track it. He made that ball way harder on himself than he had to, because he didn't simply turn his body with 30 yards to adjust to that ball. And he has the audacity to pretend that he tracked that ball well. And then he pretends to be hurt for a second. He starts grabbing his knee. It was Nelson Agholor. I've never seen someone regress at 25 years old, much like Nelson Agholor has as a wide receiver, to be as bad as he was for the first 2 years of his career, to then suddenly become one of the more explosive slot receivers in the league. Back to this, where he has cost the Eagles, and he's not the only reason they lost this football game today, but where he could be the difference right now between 5-5 and 7-3. Carson Wentz, sure, there was a lot that wasn't great about this game. But Carson Wentz now this year has thrown two game-winning touchdowns and a game-tying touchdown on the final drive of the fourth quarter for the offense that were dropped. And it's been a repeated theme this year for Nelson Agholor, a guy that the Eagles are paying the 25th highest paid wide receiver contract in the NFL at $9.5 million. They vouched for him. They went to bat for him to be that third guy, to be that speed replacement for DeSean Jackson. I went to bat for him against Geno, who has been saying this about Nelson Agholor now for a long time. And I, all offseason, and really for the first month of this season, said there was enough we saw in 2017 and 2018 to defend him and think that he can turn this around. And he has not done it, and he has consistently defended himself when it comes to tracking the football. And I've never seen a wide receiver just be so lost at tracking the football for his speed. And he got open. Again, it was in his hands. And even for as bad as he tracked that football, he still had it in his hands. And while it was a weird angle, he had to twist like a pretzel because of the position he put himself in, he still should have caught that football. He defended himself, saying he tracked it well. He pretended to be hurt. It was an embarrassing moment. It's been an embarrassing season for Agholor. And I don't even want him back on a prove-it deal next year. Go somewhere else. He needs a change of scenery. The Eagles need a change at wide receiver. Nelson Agholor is not going to be a part of that puzzle. And again, don't get me wrong. Carson Wentz was not great today. He only completed 50% of his throws. A bad fumble when nobody was clearly going to get open. He just held onto the football way too long. He missed Mac Hollins early on in the game down the right sideline. He was open. Mac Hollins surprisingly, shockingly beat his man. Carson Wentz missed him. Look, before the Nelson Agholor play on 4th and 10 on that final drive, he did miss three very routine, easy throws, and he has struggled with that this year. I think there have been some accuracy concerns with Carson Wentz on easy, what should be easy throws that could have set up that drive better. But eventually, even if he completed that ball to Nelson Agholor like 1 or 2 yards in front of the line of scrimmage, or the other two to Zach Ertz, he overthrew Ertz once on the left sideline and then threw it at his feet as on a crossing route on that same drive. Even if he makes those throws, eventually you have to make the play to get into the end zone. And he made that play. So that's the thing. Yes, he missed those other three throws, but when push came to shove, much like against Atlanta, on 4th and 14, where he finds Nelson Agholor, when you needed to make a play, when you needed your quarterback to come through. He wasn't coming through the three plays before, but the touchdown play that had to happen, regardless of what, you know, how the recipe to get to that moment, regardless of that recipe, you got to that point. Carson Wentz got you there. He had that last touching ingredient, the one that was most important to tying or even winning this football game if they went for two, which maybe Doug Peterson does. And Nelson Agholor didn't make the play. And look, he got no help today. The lack of talent on offense just absolutely cost them. There was a brutal drop by Jordan Matthews deep down the right sideline. I felt like I was in 2016 all over again with this game. I felt like I was in Seattle against the Seahawks, seeing Carson Wentz throw to Doriel Green Beckham, number 17, Nelson Agholor, and Jordan Matthews. There was three really bad drops by Dallas Goedert, much like Alshon Jeffrey, just out of character this year with the drops. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside did absolutely nothing today to make me feel anything better about him being the second-round pick over D.K. Metcalf, who the Eagles are going to play next week. He had a nice 29-yard grab on the final drive. He came back to Carson Wentz and made a nice chest catch to continue that drive to set them up nicely at midfield. But J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, he comes off the line of scrimmage slow. He's not fast in and out of his routes. He's just not very explosive, and while Carson Wentz didn't give him a lot of one-on-one chances down the field, he just looks to me, and it's way too premature to say this, but just looks to me like another guy, like another Jordan Matthews type of player that isn't special or worth that second-round grade. And again, that's way too early to say, but that is, once again, what I saw today. He was disappointing. He did not step up. Nobody around Carson Wentz made plays. So yeah, you can point to a lot of the faults with Carson Wentz today. There are accuracy issues, holding onto the football a little bit too long on some plays, knowing when to give up. But he made things happen for his team. He elevated the offense, whereas when he needed his guys to make plays for him, they just were non-existent. I mean, Carson Wentz, how many times did he pull a rabbit out of a hat today? That final drive, he had three unworldly throws. The final one to Aguilar that was dropped, the one in the back of the end zone to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, evading the pass rush, getting to the left, and making that throw on the run. A perfect throw to Aguilar on 3rd and 10 to move the chains, and to Zach Ertz in what was a non-existent window that Carson Wentz's arm strength created. That was a throw that, once again, maybe Patrick Mahomes can make, that Aaron Rodgers can make, and maybe Russell Wilson, and maybe Deshaun Watson, and that's it. That was, again, one of those wow throws that is the reason you take him over a guy like Jared Goff every single day. And again, there were some unnecessary sacks, but for me, with Carson Wentz, we knew going into this game he was going to have to make plays. He was going to have to create for his offense against a top two defense without Alshon Jeffrey, without DeSean Jackson, without Jordan Howard, with Lane Johnson getting hurt today, with Jason Peters once again coming out of the lineup. I'll live with him trying to create. That's why I wanted him over Jared Goff. It's why I was sweating out the Rams taking all 7 minutes of that draft clock to take Jared Goff first overall, because that's the type of quarterback that I want. He held on, by the way, in that final drive, and that helped them make the plays. That escapability, that never-say-die attitude, that NFL street type of Carson Wentz almost won them the football game. There were times where, yeah, you held onto the football like 15 seconds, knowing the receivers you have live to fight another down, especially the way the defense was playing. But he normally isn't even this overly committed to not settling. Like, again, I'll live with Carson Wentz because he is a big play guy. He's going to look for more sometimes rather than take the check down or throw the football away. But it's never really to the radical extreme that it was today. He had to do what he was doing today, only completing 50% of his throws, looking for more, because once again, he didn't have the weapons that could get open for themselves. He had to buy them more time, try to lure people in with his legs, open the field for his wide receivers, because he just doesn't have enough wide receivers. You can be as good at 12 personnel as you want with Dallas Goedert and with Zach Ertz. You can have that 1-2 combo, and it's dangerous, and it's a matchup nightmare for defenses. But regardless of what you have in 12 personnel at tight end, that's easier to defend for defenses. If you don't have multiple big-time wide receivers, productive, fast wide receivers, multi-dimensional wide receivers, then your offense isn't going anywhere. They can't make, tight ends cannot make the same types of plays as wide receivers can. The versatility, the different types of plays down the field, behind the line of scrimmage, yards after the catch. Goddard and Ertz, they made plays today, as they always do, but it wasn't enough. You need at least one or two new pass catchers, and they got to have speed next year. Because for me, I'm moving on mentally from Nelson Aguilar already. If the Eagles had Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson healthy, I would cut Aguilar at this point, but they're not going to do that just based on necessity. So Aguilar's done, and I'm not instilling my trust in J.J. Arcega-Whiteside to step in and be one of your starting wide receivers next year. This is a problem right now that could significantly hold back what this Eagles team does going forward for a playoff push, but it could also hold them back next year if they don't find their new speed wide receiver to eventually replace DeSean Jackson, to complement DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey next year. Whether it's Henry Ruggs, whether it's Hamler from Penn State, they need to figure it out, because you saw it today, how glaring it was that was the main reason that they lost this football game. And I'm not just freeing Carson Wentz of any responsibility. He was a liability at times today in this football game. But damn it, when your franchise quarterback makes some of the throws, the plays he made today with the weapons that he had against that defense, it's really hard for me to sit here and complain about number 11 and point to him as the problem on the offense. Because without Carson Wentz, you put a lot of quarterbacks in the league. You put more than half of the quarterbacks, maybe 75% of the quarterbacks in the league today, and the Eagles don't make anywhere near the amount of plays that they had in this football game. So for me, if it, like tomorrow with stock up and stock down, and again, I'm more of a Wentz apologist than other people, but I think it's justified. And once again, today, I'm not going to be the one that says Carson Wentz cost the Eagles this football game. The Eagles lose to the New England Patriots 17-10 at Lincoln Financial Field. We will continue to recap what was a look. There are some positives we will get into. A game that the Eagles had an opportunity to win, to steal, and they just came up short just because of a lot of the same reasons that have plagued a lot of the same problems that have plagued this Eagles team this year. We got to take a quick break here on Locked On Eagles. Coming up next, I'll continue to get into what went wrong on the offensive side, and then at the same time, what went right on defense, because the defense had the best performance that they probably have had all year and probably in a long time with Jim Schwartz as the defensive coordinator. This is Louis DiBiase on Locked On Eagles. Don't go anywhere, guys. We'll be right back. We are sponsored today by Blue Chew. This isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants that extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and it ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our Locked On Eagles listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free. That's right, for free. When you use our special promo code Locked On, just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com. Promo code Locked On to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, welcome back. This is Locked On Eagles. We continue to recap the Philadelphia Eagles 17-10 loss to the New England Patriots on Sunday. I am Lou DiBiase joining you on this Monday edition of the podcast, and once again, just I'm frustrated because I feel like even with all the bad throws Carson Wentz made today, some of the bad decisions within the pocket, he did enough against a top two defense, one of the best secondaries in football, if not the best secondary in football, with 2016 level weapons, with Lane Johnson injured, with Jordan Howard injured, with Alshon Jeffrey injured, and he still makes the play at the end of the game. Regardless of missing the three passes before, he made the play that was going to happen eventually. And just once again, a wide receiver cannot make a play for him. And it's Nelson Aguilar again. And he was someone, look, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside against Detroit, even though that's kind of why they drafted him to make those kind of plays, I understood it. It was his second game, the first one he was starting in. And, you know, in that kind of moment, I'll understand that. It's your third game ever. You're a rookie. But for Nelson Aguilar, this was a player that, again, you're paying $9.5 million to make that play. If you're not making that play, what are they paying Nelson Aguilar for right now? He had four catches today for 40 yards. He did come up big on that 3rd and 10. He actually caught the football. But Nelson Aguilar, again, could be the difference right now between 5-5 and 7-3. And it's not fair to just put that all on him, because there are wins right now that maybe could be losses of a couple things happen in another way. And, you know, those games that he drops the football today, a couple other throws here or there, or a certain play, you know, it could change the outcome regardless. But the look was there, and he can't haul in the football, and he cannot track the football. And for a fifth-year player that you drafted in the first round, it's frustrating that once again, here we're sitting at 500 talking about this, much like we had been in the past. And, you know, this game reminded me a lot of the 2017 AFC Championship game between the New England Patriots and the Jacksonville Jaguars, where the Jaguars defense was on one. They were playing at an elite level. They had a double-digit point lead at one point. In fact, even going into the fourth quarter, the Eagles were up at one point, 10-0 today. And you know, the play calling was great by Nathan Hackett with the Jaguars, and the same thing with Doug Peterson today. I thought in the first quarter, you know, dialing up the screens, play action passes, the running concepts, the offensive line was really having success. Miles Sanders running extremely confident. You can tell the game has really slowed down for him. They had a 9-plus minute touchdown drive to take the 10-0 lead. By the way, that was the most yards in a single possession the Patriots have allowed this year. But then Peterson went away from that. It seemed like maybe New England took away a lot of the screens and a lot of what Philadelphia was doing well in the first half. At the same time, Doug Peterson went away from Miles Sanders in the second half. He had just four touches. Boston Scott was playing a lot. I don't know if it was because Sanders got injured. He was in the blue tent. At some point, he was in the medical tent. But it just, I feel like maybe Doug Peterson ran out of things to beat this New England defense with. The greatest defensive mind maybe ever in Bill Belichick. And elite personnel right now, with especially Stephon Gilmore at cornerback for the Patriots. Eventually, you were going to need your players to just simply out-execute them like they did in the Super Bowl, and they couldn't. After the first quarter, at one point, the Eagles were outgained 176 yards to 27. So that's why it reminds me of that Jaguars game, because eventually Hackett, he had a great game plan, a great opening script for Blake Bortles in that Jaguars offense, and they jumped out to an early lead, and the defense was playing well, so it bought them some time. But eventually, when the Patriots adjust, like they always do, they're one of the best teams at adjusting after halftime in not just NFL history, but sports history, right? So eventually, you kind of needed Carson Wentz, and you needed these wide receivers and your tight ends and your offensive line just to say, we're better than you and we're going to make this play regardless if you know it's coming. And that didn't happen. So that's why it reminded me of that game, because it just felt like you eventually ran, I don't want to say you ran out of tricks, but you just did not have the talent, you did not have the personnel to simply out-execute what is an incredible Patriots defense. And of course, it doesn't help that Lane Johnson got hurt. Carson Wentz got sacked 5 times when he left. Let me tell you something about this team's injury history the past 3 years. It's historically bad. I've never seen anything like it. And you can say what you want about the medical staff, and I agree that the Eagles' medical department, the strength and conditioning, those departments certainly should be in question. And the older roster has a lot to do with it. There's been a lot of veterans that have been injured over the last 3 years. But at the same time, there's a lot of players that are in their prime that are getting hurt. The younger players in the secondary that are getting hurt. And it just seems like it's different players every single week that are key to your run. And it's like, I can't tell you the last time this Eagles team was at full strength with the personnel that Howie Roseman envisioned this team being a potential, I don't want to say a dynasty with, but a contender for years to come after winning the first one in 2017. So now at one point today, you were without the best right tackle in football, maybe the best deep threat ever in DeSean Jackson, your number one wide receiver in Alshon Jeffrey. For whatever we'll say about Alshon this year, and he has significantly regressed for sure, and he struggled with drops, and he can't stay healthy, he's still your best playmaker at wide receiver. You're without all those guys. And then on defense, you're without, you know, the core of your defense in the middle, Nigel Bradham, at middle linebacker. You're only every down linebacker. So, you know, at some point we can talk about the wide receivers, and you can talk about the play calling and Carson Wentz's inaccuracy at times. You can talk about all these things on the field that went into the Eagles losing a football game. But a lot of those reasons we're talking about, those factors, like the wide receivers, is because of injuries. Is injuries always a good excuse? No. The Eagles probably still should win this football game today, regardless of what the injuries they had. They were still good enough to win this football game. They were leading the game 10-0 at one point, deep into the second quarter. But they are a valid excuse. There's not a lot of teams that can overcome what this Eagles team has overcome, even last year, for what was an incredibly rocky regular season, to have all those injuries they went through, to get into the playoffs and nearly get to the NFC Championship game. It's just, it continues to spiral downhill with the health of this football team. That, yeah, getting younger will help. Maybe a new strength and conditioning department will help. Maybe all these different factors will help. But my God, I've never seen this many key, crucial injuries to one team in my life, in a 3-year span. In my life, I've never seen anything like this. So that happened today, and it was a big reason the Eagles lose this game, because once Lane Johnson went out and Halipuli Vaitai had to go in, which I'm surprised they went with him over Andre Dillard. I know he's a rookie, and you know there's an adjustment going from left tackle to right tackle, but just way more talented than Big V. You could tell the minute that Lane Johnson was out that this team was just, it was different. And it was different on the ground too. The Eagles went away from the running game And I'm sure part of that was because Big V versus Lane Johnson as a run blocker, it's night and day. Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks probably is the best 1-2 punch on an offensive line on the ground in the entire NFL. So it's an elite combo, and it's an elite unit that just with Big V there, it's a different unit. It's not the same. And the same thing with Jason Peters. I kind of went to bat for Jason Peters to return as the starter when he got healthy over Andre Dillard, because when he was healthy this year, he was the 9th overall graded out Pro Football Focus tackle or offensive lineman in the league this year. So I just thought when it comes to execution on the field, but some of the best capabilities is availability. And the guy just right now at nearly 40 years old, it's sad to watch him kind of struggle now to stay healthy, because you love the guy. He's an Eagles legend. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. The Eagles are going to have to take a legitimate look this week at considering just a move of going to Andre Dillard full time. And I don't know if they'll do it. They're very loyal to their starters. They don't let a lot of players lose their jobs to injury. It's something that they should definitely consider today and or this week, really. It's so frustrating. They only needed a few possessions in this football game. For everything I'm saying, all they needed was a few possessions, because this defense held Tom Brady in check. He had 0 touchdowns, no real big plays. He was inaccurate himself. I thought, if we're coming down to who was the better quarterback today, I thought it was Carson Wentz made way more plays than Tom Brady did. So the run game was non-existent for New England. The Eagles' defensive line got consistent pressure. Specifically, Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox just continued to tear up offensive lines the past couple weeks. The secondary was really good. I mean, how about Jalen Mills? Jalen Mills didn't play football for an entire year, and he is easily the Eagles' best cornerback so far. He's making plays every single week. And for everything I'll say about Ronald Darby was really good today outside of one play. Avante Maddox struggled, certainly, but even Maddox made a couple big plays in the red zone and against Edelman. They honestly should have had 4 interceptions, and, you know, that's the tough thing. As I say on offense, you needed only a few possessions here. A field goal here and there maybe changes the outcome of this football game, but also what changes is if they get a little of that 2015 magic, just a little, because the defense was playing equally as good. They were playing equally as opportunistic, but on all 4 really strong looks to get interceptions, the defenders kind of showed why they're defensive backs and not wide receivers. Ronald Darby dropped what should have been an easy interception. Rodney McLeod in the right corner of the end zone just read Tom Brady the entire way, should have picked it off. Avante Maddox should have had one, and Jalen Mills also should have had one. Almost the entire secondary should have had interceptions today, and you give the Eagles offense that short field with how good they are in the red zone, that could have changed things for sure. Instead, the Patriots punter, and I forget his name, but my gosh, he might have been the MVP today, because he pinned the Eagles back, I bet you, at least 70 to 75 to 80% of the Eagles' offensive drives started off inside the 20, behind the 20-yard line. I mean, in the second half, the Eagles were starting at the 10, I felt like, every possession. And when you don't have a field stretcher, when you don't have playmakers, Bill Belichick's going to say, yeah, come drive on us 90 yards again. You did it once. We're going to keep giving you opportunities. Let's see if you can do it. So, you know, it's hard to ask for anything more of the defense today, considering how good they were against the best quarterback of all time. But man, if one of those interceptions is caught, it could have been certainly a different outcome. But nonetheless, the offense just did not take advantage of the defense's performance today. The defense has had 3 great weeks. Hats off to Jim Schwartz. He was dialing up, because what me and Gino get on Schwartz a lot on this podcast on Locked On Eagles is he does not like to adjust, and when he does, he likes to stick to what he adjusted to. So if I'm dialing up cover 0 blitz, I'm going to just continue to ride that over and over and over again, much like he did against the Falcons this year, week 2. Or if I'm going to go cover 3 and my corners are going to line up, you know, 15 yards deep, that's what we're going to do. We're going to give them the underneath stuff over and over again. But today, much like against Buffalo and against Chicago, he had his cornerbacks playing up at the line. You can tell he's way more comfortable with Darby and Mills playing man coverage than Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones, even though I thought Rasul Douglas had a really good day today, made some really good plays in dime looks. They're running 4 corners instead of 3 safeties and 3 corners in that package, which I really like. But Schwartz had guys playing up at the line, a lot of man coverage. He trusts Darby and Mills, a number of different formation looks, blitzes, you know, etc. Jim Schwartz today had a great coaching day against the Patriots offense with Tom Brady, that last time these two teams played in Super Bowl 52, Brady put up over 500 passing yards on this the same exact Eagles secondary. So some of the same liabilities did bite them for sure on that touchdown drive. Nate Geary once again missing a tackle in the open field. What else is new? It would have been a loss. And instead it was like a 38-yard run by Rex Burkhead. Inverted cover two in the red zone with Darby just giving up on his man, and it ended up being a touchdown. Everyone overcommitting to Julian Edelman, who tricked them and ended up throwing the football. So there were some of the same things that haunt this defense, but I'm not going to – look, I'll get on the defense more down the line, I'm sure, but today's not the day to do that. They were fantastic. They nearly won the Eagles this football game. They nearly stole this game for the Philadelphia Eagles. We got to hit another break here on Locked On Eagles. Coming up next, we'll take one last look at the 17-10 loss to New England and then kind of take a look down the road against the Seattle Seahawks next week. Is it time to panic yet here at 5-5? That's coming up right here on Locked On Eagles. And guys, we are also sponsored today by Away. Away creates thoughtful products designed to change how you see the world. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/lockedon and use the promo code LOCKEDON during checkout. Listening on the go, if you can't visit Away right now, you can find this and all other offers from LOCKEDON sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back. This is Locked On Eagles, a post-game edition of the show here on a Monday morning. The Eagles fall to the New England Patriots 17-10 yesterday. Is it time to panic at 5-5? The Dallas Cowboys get a win yesterday over the Detroit Lions to get to 6-4. So the Eagles now are a game behind in the NFC East lead. And the Cowboys also have the tiebreaker right now, but that can change with the upcoming matchup week 16. I don't think it's time to panic, certainly. The Patriots game was never a must-win. We said it on the podcast this week multiple times that the game against Seattle next week and really that week 16 matchup against Dallas were the bigger games that you had to win at least one, and really the one you're going to have to win. Even next week, you can lose next week at 5-6 and still have a legitimate shot at winning the NFC East as long as you win that Week 16 game against the Cowboys. Because if you win that game against the Cowboys, let's say hypothetically now you're 6-6, even though I went out of order, you have the second easiest schedule remaining in the NFL. Between those two matchups are tough, yeah. But then you still get to play the New York Giants twice, you get to play the Washington Redskins again, and you get to play the Miami Dolphins. So that could be, what it should be, is four wins right there. So that right there puts you at 10-6, even if you lose next week against Seattle. So no, it's not certainly time to panic, but you would have liked to, if you could have stole this win against New England, with the way the defense was playing and with all the injuries you had, if you could get out of this with a W at 6-4, still tied for the lead, you'd be playing with house money, because then you almost wouldn't even need to beat Seattle or Dallas and still hypothetically get in at 10-6. And it would be tougher because the Cowboys would have to lose three more football games, which could happen. I mean, they play the Bears, Bills, Rams, and Patriots left, and the Eagles, but hypothetically, if you beat the Patriots, you're not going into next week against a red-hot Russell Wilson and saying, all right, we don't have to win this football game, but we could really use it just in case. Because, you know, even though they should run the table after next week, it'd be nice to not have to run the table. So it's not time to panic at 5-5. They're only one game behind Dallas, who barely beat Jeff Driscoll on Sunday. The Cowboys play in Foxborough against the Patriots next week. The defense looks really good. You should be getting back, and I say should be getting back, Alshon Jeffrey and Jordan Howard. So those are all some positives in this game. You should have won. You were up 10-0 against the best team in the league probably right now with all of the injuries you had. So that's the positive. Even at 5-5 right now, you're still in a very good position to win the NFC East. I will say, though, now my tone about the wild card in the NFC is very much different, because last week on Monday I said, look, even if they don't win the East, maybe they get in. If they could beat Seattle, you could maybe get in over them. Could Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings choke down the stretch? They did last year. But now the Eagles are three games behind both of those teams in Minnesota and Seattle. The Rams won tonight on Sunday Night Football, so they're 6-4. There's just too many teams right now that are ahead of the Eagles and the Vikings have the head-to-head. So if they're going to get into the postseason, it's going to have to be – it's not going to be like last year where you can lose out to Dallas and still get in. It's possible still, but for me, you're going to have to win the NFC East to get in, and it's the most probable scenario right now. But as of now, the Eagles, it doesn't feel good to lose to the Patriots 17-10 to get to 5-5. 6-4 was right there. You could really start to smell it. You could see that 2015 kind of upset in the works. That's going to do it for today's edition of Locked On Eagles. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's edition of the podcast. We're going to be producing another 4 to 5 shows this week, so make sure you subscribe to any podcast app. And also, we post them on LockedOnEagles.com. Gino will be back tomorrow for Stock Up, Stock Down, and then we will move on to Seattle Week. Let's see if the Eagles can finally take down Russell Wilson, who right now is probably the lead candidate to win MVP. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE to continue to talk birds even after the show. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.